You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
John B. here, gangrenenation.com, bringing you the Locked On Jets podcast as we kick October off. Tough to believe we're in October already. Heck, it's also tough to believe that we are a quarter of the way through the NFL season. The NFL season just flies by. And we, of course, are here today to break down Week 4, in particular the New York Jets' 31-12 defeat at the hands of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Just an ugly performance by the Jets. Another ugly performance after two pretty brutal defeats leading up to this. Jets now on a three-game losing streak. All of those good feelings that followed that Monday night Week 1 in Detroit are long gone. This team is now 1-3. And I'll tell you, I would say that this team's finished, if not for the fact there was a three-game homestand coming up. So maybe this team can turn it around then. But boy, this team looked bad yesterday. This was a pretty, pretty ugly performance. And, you know, my first thought on it is I'm not so much upset by this loss because, let's be honest, when the schedule came out, this was a game you penciled in as a loss. Does that mean you concede the game? Of course not. Anything can happen any given Sunday in the NFL. But if you were being realistic, you probably looked at this game, a trip to Jacksonville. Jacksonville has to be, I don't care who you are, Jacksonville has to be one of your top three teams that could be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl this year. And this is a legitimately great defense, a team that's really a contender. Road game there, a little revenge factor because, of course, the Jets beat them Week 4 last year. So, you know, I felt like heading into this game, even back when the schedule came out, this was going to be a tough game for the Jets to win. And for me, more than anything, this shows you why it's important to not let games like Week 2, Week 3 get away, games against the Dolphins, the Browns. You know, I heard a lot last week. I would say they're trying to rationalize the loss, saying, well, the Browns are better now, this isn't so bad. Yeah, it was bad because this team let two winnable games slip away. And you look at the way Miami Dolphins played yesterday against New England. Not very good. You know, pretty terrible performance themselves, Miami. And then the Cleveland Browns. Jets had the chance to win both games. Jets had a chance to go into this game 3-0. Now, I don't know that the outcome changes. Maybe you go in with more confidence if you're 3-0. But the outcome may have been the same. But the feeling around this team would be so different if they hadn't let two winnable games slip away. And that's exactly what happened. You know, they lost these two games that were there for the taking, and now this team's 1-3. They're on a three-game losing streak, and things just feel different. And, you know, we're going to get into coach. The coaches are taking just an absolute pounding from Jets fans. Jets fans are very angry with this coaching staff, and I think rightly so. But I think we need to begin the show by just stating what I think is the obvious. It's kind of alludes to what I discussed at the top of the show. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a much better football team than the New York Jets. And what you saw on that field yesterday came down to primarily, more than anything, the talent disparity between these two teams. And particularly when the New York Jets had the football and the Jacksonville Jaguars were on defense. Because the Jaguars have one of the best defenses in the league. And the Jets do not have much of an offense right now. And I think ultimately, you have to understand when a team that's as limited offensively in terms of talent as the Jets can't get anything going, doesn't even look credible against the defense like the Jacksonville Jaguars had. And you look at this Jets, there were a lot of things that were up in the air heading into this season. You're going in with a rookie quarterback, first of all, on top of a team that's limited at a number of positions on offense. So it's one thing for them to not look credible on offense, and it almost had to be expected. And, you know, you look at some of the things that were kind of wild cards for the Jets heading into this season, the offensive line, could they be average? Could everybody pull it together? Not looking that way. This offensive line is looking as bad as advertised. The receiving group, the receivers, certainly not looking as good as you hope for. The receiver group was kind of a wild card because you had four guys who conceivably could contribute. Right now, you're only getting contributions from one of those guys. And yes, I know Robbie Anderson finally broke loose on a deep ball against Jalen Ramsey. Well, guess what? You're breaking loose on one deep ball in four games. That's not cutting it. That's not cutting it. And I know he had the touchdown against Detroit. That was a blown coverage. I saw that. So, you know, this is an offensively challenged football team, pretty clearly. And, you know, you had to expect that result. And it's one thing to not get any results from this from this offense against Jackson. It's one thing to look hopeless, and let's be honest, the Jets looked hopeless on offense against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we'll talk a little bit about more about the offense in a little bit, but what really is disturbing about this team is the way this defense is playing, and particularly the coverage. The coverage was abominable in this game, and I'm going to look at the All-22 film. There was a point where in this first half when the announcer said that Blake Bortles is 15 for 16. He's tearing the Jets. I'm thinking, sitting there, I'm like, is Blake Bortles? I haven't really been thinking Blake Bortles has been playing that great. I can't really come up with many difficult throws he had to hit. And the Jets were just making their lives easy. I mean, it was blown coverage after blown. It seemed like bust, guys not communicating, guys not getting the proper depth in their zones. And this is a problem because this team, the resources in this team are tied up in the defense. And the way this team is built, because they're limited offensively, this defense has to keep the offense in the game. And what we saw from the defense is not going to get it done. I'm not even going to talk about any of the numbers, any of that other stuff. You can't allow the other team to score on its first four drives. You can't give up 16 points in the first four drives. And, you know, you can say, well, 16 points in the first half, which is bad anyway. But it's not quite – see, you can't always look at the point total. As much as anything, it's points per drive. Because if you're allowing these long drives to be put together, you're not getting off the field on third down, and the Jaguars only have four drives in the first half, those 16 points are a lot bigger than if, like, your offense has eight chances with the ball in the first half. It's a bigger lead when your offense is limited in its chances. And when you can't get off the field, it means your offense has limited chances. So each point you give up is more important than it would be if you were giving up like 16 points in eight drives. So and this team's built. I mean, they have so much invested in these cover guys. They have so much invested in the cornerback position, the safety position, too early draft money in the cornerback position in free agency, draft picks in early draft picks at the safety position. The linebackers, the Jets have a lot of money invested in. Darren Lee, Avery Williamson. Lee was a first-round pick. Williamson was a fairly pricey free agent addition this year. And it seemed like the Jaguars were really going. I'm going to be interested to watch the All-22. It really felt like the Jaguars in their game plan. They felt like they saw something on these linebackers. And I'll tell you, Darren Lee, I mean, I keep talking this guy up. I talked Williamson up, too. I didn't think Williamson was terrible. But I felt like these guys were exploited in coverage. I'll be interested to see if the All-22 backs that up. I mean, I know one touchdown, the T.J. Yeldon touchdown, looked like Lee just totally blew his assignment. He took the wrong guy. That's what it looked like. I'll be interested to see if that holds up. And it just, I mean, that seems like the story of Darren Lee's career, doesn't it? And I'll tell you later in the week, I may owe Darren Lee an apology if I watch the All-22 and my second impression is different from my first. But I mean, isn't the story of Darren Lee's career is you get excited, you see something good on film, and then the next week you see something bad that kind of tempers your enthusiasm. And, you know, if these guys can't cover and these guys are forcing this offense to play from behind, it's just not going to work. And these guys are blowing basic coverages. And it would be one – and, I mean, it's bad because Jacksonville, as talented as their defense is, this is not an offense that looks very dynamic on paper. And it would be one thing if I just saw this for one game. It would be – that. I mean, look, that's one thing. Everybody can have a bad game. It was like this last week. Cleveland, you know, I heard people say, well, Cleveland didn't put up that many points. Cleveland would have gone well over 30 points if Tyrod Taylor could have thrown a remotely accurate football in the first half of that game, because the Jets were busting coverages left and right in the first half of that game, and Baker Mayfield came in and took advantage of it when the Jets were playing bad coverage. You know, that was the turning point of that game was really Baker Mayfield coming in, because Mayfield actually could hit open receivers when the Jets were blowing coverages. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, 3rd and 19, Jets blow a coverage. Frank Gore gets on, doesn't get covered out of the backfield. And this Jets team this Jets team may end up picking first overall if they cover like this, because this team's supposed to be built on coverage. It's not just that they're not living up to expectations. They can't execute basic coverages right now. And that's unacceptable. The offense has an excuse. This is not a good offense. They were going up against a great defense. That's one thing. But when this defense goes out there and plays like that, I mean, you have no shot. You have no shot. And these things were so bad that I can't even figure out exactly what went wrong. It just seemed like it was all-encompassing. Of course, we know one thing that went wrong, and that's Trumaine Johnson getting toasted by Dante Moncrief. And boy, is that a problem or what? Because this team can't. I mean, with the amount of money Trumaine Johnson's making against the cap, the money the Jets have invested in him, if they have to protect him against a receiver of Dante Moncrief's caliber, that's bad. And again, if it was one game, okay, everybody has a bad game. He's been bad in really three of the four games. And then the other game, Miami never really tested the Jets downfield. Ryan Tannehill showed pretty much no ability to do that week two. So this is, we're getting to the point where this is alarming, because this is not a contract the Jets can afford to have go south, because this is not a team-friendly contract in the way it's structured at all. Johnson's going to be on this team the next few years. He has to be because of the way this deal is structured. And this is not, and I'm not ready to write the, you know, I'm not ready to say that this is already a disastrous contract, but I'm saying something better happen soon. Trumaine Johnson better find his game. He better figure things out. And it's, what's alarming is it's looking like it's a speed issue with him, and he's never been a burner, but I mean, he's looking like he can't keep up with receivers right now. And that is alarming, because he, at this point, I would say he looks like 2016 Darrelle Revis. The Jets wanted 2009 Darrelle Revis. The Jets wanted something close to vintage Darrelle Revis, something in the same ballpark. They're getting 2016 Revis right now. So that's got to change. And the Jets just, and I mean, at the end of the day, if this Jets team covers like that, that's supposed to be the strength of this team. That's supposed to be what it's built on. That's what's supposed to carry this team. If they can't get better coverage than that, it is going to be a very, very long year in New York. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today, that's MyBookie, and if you use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account, you can claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON number 2, number 5. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on the Jets at MetLife Stadium. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you go to your favorite event. Now, on the offensive side of the football, I'm not really sure I have much to say. As I said, this was a total talent mismatch, and it was not a good performance by Sam Darnold, and that's putting it mildly. It was a second straight ugly performance by Darnold. And, you know, I judge rookie quarterbacks, especially their first few games. I judge them, I grade on a curve. So, you know, if a year from now, I'll be saying different things if he's playing games like this. I mean, I think whenever you're dealing with a rookie quarterback, you just have to take it as it comes, and you know that there are going to be some bad games. Now, what you'd like to see him avoid this turning into a prolonged slump, and I think that's where, you know, you may be running into a little bit of danger. I'd like to see a quality performance next week. I'm not saying he needs a superhuman performance, but I think you'd like to avoid this turning into like a month-long slump. But if it does, I mean, there's still time to turn it around. And look, I mean, there's no two ways about it. This was a really bad performance by Sam Darnold. It is a miracle he did not throw an interception, because there were five passes he threw that could have been intercepted. One of which was, that was wiped off by a penalty. But it was, and he missed a number of guys open deep. I mean, there was the back-to-back plays when he missed Powell. And then he threw, there was the play after that, the fourth down play to Anunua. I probably put more of that on Anunua, because that ball still should have been caught, but it was not a perfect throw. There was a time he missed Robbie Anderson deep when Anderson got deep on Ramsey. So, you know, just between the throws he missed and the dangerous passes that probably should have been. I mean, there should have been a couple of those picked off. It was he got very lucky that there were no interceptions there. I mean, you saw there were a few plays here or there where he made it happen himself with the pocket crumbling, or he made a great throw. There was a play, I mean, how about that throw to Herndon on the sideline where, I mean, when I saw him throw it, I thought he was throwing it away. He actually saw Herndon. It's a heck of a throw. You know, I mean, I think there were still people who thought he wasn't throwing it away. I mean, he clearly, if he wanted to throw it away, he could put it in the stands. It was a great throw. I mean, there were a couple of really impressive plays in there, but overall, I don't think you can look at this game as a positive, aside from the fact that maybe you just take it as a learning experience. And, you know, Darnold, again, I'll say this, especially as we're in the first quarter of his rookie year, I'm not going to grade a rookie too harshly if he plays a bad game. Now, am I going to say he played a bad game? Well, yeah, I think anybody who watched that would understand that he played a bad game. But, you know, it comes with the territory. And ultimately, you know, people get upset about these games. Look, he was not a Hall of Famer that Monday night in Detroit. That did not mean he was immediately a franchise quarterback who could carry that team on his back. He wasn't at that point, at that stage yet, obviously, after one game in his career. He's not as bad as he's looked these last 2 weeks either. You know, what's the old expression that you're never as good as you look when you're at your best. You're never as bad as you look when you're at your worst. And that's true here. I mean, he'll bounce back. He'll play some good games at some point this year. You know, you just got to take it as it comes with this rookie quarterback. The rest of the offense, I mean, I think we're just looking at an offense that doesn't really have a whole lot going for it outside of Quincy Enunwa and Bilal Powell right now. This offensive line is as bad as people feared it would be. And this receiving group has not been as good as people hoped it would be. And as much as I loved Isaiah Crowell prior to, you know, last week, I mean, Isaiah Crowell had a terrible game. And, I mean, they're really the only two semi-consistent playmakers on this offense are Quincy Enunwa and Bilal Powell. So that's just something the Jets are going to – I don't know how you deal with that. I think the Jets are going to need a little bit better game calling from Jeremy Bates. I mean, I'm not seeing a lot, especially when you watch teams like the Rams and the Chiefs. You look at ways that they scheme guys open. You look at the ways they create easy play for their quarterback. I'm not seeing a lot of that. You know, now Bates, the biggest criticism was that, you know, he's not throwing the ball deep. Well, they threw deep plenty in this game. Darnold just missed his throws. So, you know, you can't really get on them from that standpoint. But, you know, I'm not seeing a whole lot from Jeremy Bates that's impressing me that much. And that brings us, you know, we're going to talk about this coaching staff, and I'll tell you, it's starting to look ugly for this coaching staff. If they don't get this thing turned around quickly, this season is going to spiral out of control, and there's going to be a change. And I'm not seeing, based on what I'm seeing from Bates right now, I'm not necessarily dreading the idea that he might be part of that change, but we'll talk more about what's on coaching. Now, the coaching is getting crushed by the fan base, and as I said at the top of the show, the biggest issue was just the talent disparity between these two teams in this game. But this was not a good day for the coaching staff, and in particularly the head coach, Todd Bowles. What were the issues? What were the things I think you can put on the coach? Well, you know, first of all, I go to the blown coverages, and I look at this from a couple perspectives. Is first of all, the Jaguars knew where they wanted to attack the Jets, and the Jets were pretty vulnerable there. So, you know, that goes to game planning. I thought the Jaguars had a good game plan. They knew exactly where they could attack the Jets. But more than that, I look at the blown coverages that are now becoming a consistent issue with this team. And I think back to 2 years ago. And back in 2016, the Jets just, I'd never seen anything like it. The way that team just busted coverages constantly, guys missing their assignments. So what did the Jets do? Jets cleaned house. I mean, of the guys who played prominent coverage roles on that 2016 team, Darren Lee's really the only guy left. The Jets cleaned house. Now we're having the same issues in 2018. We're seeing the same issues. What's in common? What are the common threads? Darren Lee, okay, but the only other common thread is this coaching staff, Todd Bowles, Casey Rogers. So, I mean, I think at some point, can I specifically pinpoint what the issue is with the coaching staff, why they keep blowing these coverages? Are the schemes not being taught properly? Is it too complicated? Are they just not seeking the right play? I don't know. But, I mean, at some point, there's really not that many constants, and one of them is the coaching staff. So I think, you know, that's an issue. There are two bigger issues, though. And the first goes back to game management. And, I mean, look, this did not really make a difference in the outcome because the Jets were way behind when Todd Bowles made both these decisions. But he kicks a field goal down 22 in the fourth. Down 22! At that point in the fourth quarter, you need three touchdowns. A field goal does you no good. It's still a three-score game on a fourth down. And then he punts the ball with, like, 5 minutes left down two scores. With 5 minutes left. I mean, there's no more. You're not going to get the ball two times after you punt the ball. And these are just, I mean, when I watch these games, I wonder whether Todd Bowles understands that you have to adjust your strategy sometimes based on score and time. You know, yes, you would punt the ball in the second quarter if you were facing a fourth down. Yes, in the first quarter, kicking a field goal on fourth down makes sense in field goal range. But when you are down, you know, score in time, you have to adjust how you make your decisions. And I'm at the point where does Todd Bowles understand? It's almost like he's just on autopilot. I don't get it. And here's the other thing: this is especially the punting thing, because there was the game 2 years ago in Pittsburgh. There was the game last year at Buffalo where he pretty much did the same thing. He keeps punting, so he's not learning. And it's everybody knows, you know, anybody who studies these things, there have been studies done, understands that being aggressive on fourth down is something teams should do. The numbers bear it out. And it shows you that Todd Bowles either hasn't studied this or he doesn't care. And neither of them is good. He's not a guy who's improving his game management. It didn't cost the Jets in this game, but it will in the future, because it shows you that he just doesn't do the right things when it comes to game management. I just don't get it. I mean, these are obvious decisions. There's nothing to, I mean, the game's probably lost anyway. You're trying to pull a miracle. It's not like you have anything to lose. I commented during the game, I mean, I don't know if Bowles is trying to win against the spread or something. Like, I'm baffled by the way he runs the game. And here's the other thing, and I understand that the players have to be smarter, but again, the stupid penalties. And I'll tell you, the one that drove me nuts was the Quincy Enunwa delay of game when he's showboating after he made a big play in the passing game, but the team's down 22. I mean, can you understand? You got to understand, it's a 22-point game at that point. You know, maybe you shouldn't be celebrating. Maybe you should rein in the celebration a little bit. And yes, that's on the Enunwa, but why did the Jets? It's not just about, you know, when you talk about a team's discipline, it's not just the total number of penalties, because some penalties are just a lack of talent, like holding, you hold a guy, but just the stupid, needless penalties. Like after the two last week, you have Enunwa taking a delay of game penalty because he's over celebrating a catch when his team's down 20 points in the fourth quarter of a game. I mean, why does this keep happening? At some point it comes back to coaching, because you don't see this happen on good teams. You don't see this happen consistently where teams are taking stupid penalties. And then there was one late in the game with Jamal Adams where he, just unnecessarily threw a guy to the ground after the play. Again, undisciplined. It just drives me. And these are the things that if I'm the owner, I'm looking at, and as I'm assessing, it's not just the team's losing, it's that stuff like this is happening. You know, stuff like these three things that I mentioned. You know, first of all, the consistent problems with the blown coverages. Second, the in-game decision-making. Third, just the undisciplined play. There's the needless penalties. These are three things that I think definitely reflect against the coaching staff. Again, I'm not blaming the coaching staff for losing that game. They were probably going to lose anyway, and the Jets have lots of talent issues. Goes back to some of the decisions they made. You know, it goes back to poor personnel decisions. And, you know, people say this is the second year of the rebuild. Well, in a sense it is, because the Jets decided to reset after 2016. But in another sense, it's kind of a tough argument to make, because Mike Maccagnan's first draft class was 2015. You know, those two draft classes didn't go away. And this is the point where they're supposed to be making big impacts, and it's just not happening. So, you know, plenty of trouble with the Jets. It will go from here. I mean, this team, it's not over yet, because you have a homestand coming up. Maybe you can straighten up and right the ship at home. But things are looking, you know, they better get moving quickly, because this thing is on the brink right now. And that's how we'll leave it today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope you have a great Monday in spite of Sunday's results. We'll be back on Tuesday.